Leonard Cohen is unusual in that he's a songwriter as well as a singer. He's a poet, really. Many of the people that get to the charts don't write their own material. But Leonard Cohen does write his own material. This is one of his most popular, but when it was first released, almost no one bought it. And every time he sings it, he seems to put different verses in. But it became famous because other people sung it, and then it went back to getting Leonard Cohen. So K.D. Lang did a version, Alexandra Burke and Jeff Buckley, all of whom sing it in their own sort of way. So the X Factor one that many of you know is a bit brighter. It's a bit faster. It's a happy song. Well, actually, the lyrics, I think, aren't quite like that. The haunting tune and its pace and that very catchy chorus makes it incredibly memorable. The verses that he sings live seems to change depending on the mood he's in. And the ones in this version deal mainly with biblical images, but the other versions that are in brackets, the other verses, seem to deal with a rather bitter relationship with an ex-lover. We get a bit of a hint of that in the first verse, that third line. He's addressing it to someone, we think an ex-lover. You don't really care for music, do you? And you wonder why someone that wasn't into music would go out with Leonard Cohen. So what's going on there? Cohen is Jewish. He was raised as an Orthodox Jew. And the verses in we heard sung are full of images from the Jewish Bible. The references to King David, who played music to calm King Saul, who was mentally unwell and who fell into depressions and rages. Only David's playing could relieve him. The secret chord which pleased the Lord also pleased King Saul. David, when he became king, saw Bathsheba bathing and wanted her. And having had a relationship with her, she became pregnant. And it became necessary for David to have her husband killed so they could marry. David in the Bible is held up as a virtuous king, a hero to his people, and was perhaps the most religious and the most devoted king of Israel. Yet this relationship with Bathsheba, according to Cohen, overthrew him. Often our physical desires undermine our morality and our ideas about what God expects of us. Cohen, I think, seems to suggest that Bathsheba's hold over David weakened him, in much the same way that Delilah weakened Samson, whose strength came from his uncut hair. And I'm uneasy with that interpretation, because that seems to blame Bathsheba for the affair with David. And yet, he was an all-powerful king. There was no Human Rights Act. There was no police. There was no army. She was seen bathing. He summoned her. What was she supposed to do? And then he has her husband killed. So I don't know whether what we're seeing in that those lines about Bathsheba overthrowing David and draining his strength is a bit of Cohen's own bitterness with a previous lover. Maybe his own view of women needs a little bit of redemption. And then Cohen turns to his own faith, or perhaps his own lack of faith, towards the end of the song. Again, addressing an unknown person, he seems to suggest that he's been accused of taking the Lord's name in vain. Something anathema to both Jews and Christians. Jewish people will never speak the name of God, referring to God as the Lord, or the Almighty, or the Eternal One. And in the Bible, God's name wasn't written down with vowels, so it could never be pronounced. Cohen implies that he may not really know God's name. Perhaps he means he's estranged or distant from God. But he does recognize God's presence in both the holy and in the secular. That's what I think he means by the broken hallelujah. And then in the last verse, just as in many of the Psalms, things are turned around when he knows that at the end of his life, he'll stand before God, who he calls the Lord of Song, with nothing to offer but a song of praise on his lips. And the word Alleluia simply means praise God. There's an unspoken hope that God will accept him as he is. Now that last line reminds me of King David, who was a wonderfully contemporary mixture of the holy and the profane. David clearly loved God. He was the first successful king of Israel. He secured Israel's borders. He set up a centralized state. He helped the country become rich and powerful. And traditionally is held to have written many of the Psalms, including the psalm that Bassani read to us today. Traditionally, it's believed to have been written in response to his repentance over the affair with Bathsheba. We've no idea whether he did write it or not, but that's often what we think about that particular psalm. But David was a deeply flawed person, and perhaps it's those flaws which mean we're still fascinated with his life. Possibly because we relate to people who are, like us, flawed and complex. As a young man, he fell in love with King Saul's son, Jonathan, saying that Jonathan's love was better than that of women. He then married his lover's sister, Saul's daughter, legitimizing his claim on the throne. But it wasn't a happy marriage. And then he has this relationship with Bathsheba. The child conceived as a result of that relationship died at birth. And although they had another child, Solomon, who went on to become king, their relationship doesn't seem to have been happy. And who can be surprised with those as foundations? We know that David had great religious feelings, and because of that knowledge, we assume he wrote many of the Psalms. Now, this Psalm 51, which we heard, is traditionally used as a prayer of penitence. In the traditional prayers that Roman Catholic priests and monks and nuns say on Friday, the traditional day of penitence, because Jesus died on a Friday, that's the set psalm for morning prayer. It's often thought it was written by David as he repented of his relationship with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband. The psalm sees sin as dirt which has to be cleansed. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. The writer is aware of his own failings, but more importantly is aware of God's loving kindness. The psalm rings out with words of agony and pain and depression. It's the words of one who is broken and who shows remorse. God is addressed through the psalm, but stays silent. It opens with heartfelt pleas for mercy and cleansing from sin in the first two verses, and supports them with a long confession of sin, which to modern ears is a little bit over the top. I was conceived in sin, I've always been a sinner. He's having a bit of the pity party. And then there's a series of pleas for radical renewal, which gives a desperate and powerful closing to the psalm. Now, I see links between the psalm that Bassani read to us and the Leonard Cohen song that we listen to. Cohen is a Jewish poet, well steeped in the psalms and the books of the Bible. At synagogue and in daily prayer as a child, he would have become familiar with the psalms, which are used by Jews as well as Christians as a prayer book. Cohen, like David, and like all of us, is a flawed person who has a mixture of religious sentiment and the all too real desires of the flesh to deal with. Some of those verses on your sheet that weren't sung in this version of the song make clear he's had a stormy relationship with a woman and it didn't end well. And it seems he's bitter about the way it ended. David's relationships with women weren't successful. And he had many wives, including Bathsheba. And at the end of his life, when he got the chills, he had some young slave girl come to lie on him to keep him warm. But he never seems to have reached the happiness that he seems to have reached in his youthful relationship with Jonathan. The Psalms end with a possible psalm ends with a sense of restoration and forgiveness. The song ends with a desire to honestly stand before God in the knowledge that God knows the writer fully and accepts his offering of praise. Now, hopefully our lives, and especially our love lives, aren't as complex as King David's. Like Cohen, we may struggle with knowing of God's existence, but not living up to the demands that God makes of us. We may do more than take God's holy name in vain, but like Cohen, we can see God at work in our lives, the holy parts and the profane parts. Like the psalmist, we may feel, because of what society or what others or because what the church has told us, that our sin is always before us. But we also know that God's loving kindness washes away our sin like the shower washes away our dirt. All we need to do is reach out and experience that loving kindness and then believe that God is love and does forgive us. Sometimes it's harder to let go of our sins than it is to believe that God has forgiven us. With the news this week being dominated by the funeral for Lady Thatcher, I was interested to read a piece by the Anglican priest Giles Fraser. And he wrote of a tradition of the funerals in the Catholic Church of the emperors of Austria. He seemed to want to get this story in because it was Mrs. Thatcher's funeral. And in the old Austrian-Hungarian Empire, when the emperor died, big procession to the cathedral for the funeral service. The cathedral door was slammed in their face, because they do that in the House of Commons as well, big tradition. And some little priest would come out and say, "Who wants to come in?" And a palace flunky would announce all the titles and the ranks and the property of the dead emperor. And the priest would say, "We know him not." And slam the door again. They're like all this door slamming. And we'd knock again and ask to come in and give all the titles and the ranks and how important this guy was. And the priest would again say, "We don't know him." And the third time, the priest would say, "Who is it that wants to come in?" And the palace flunky would say, "A sinner in need of God's mercy." And the doors would be flung open and the priest would say, "Him we know. All are welcome." Like the psalmist and like Cohen, we bring our entire lives to God, trusting that God will accept us in his great mercy as we realise that we are all poor sinners in need of God, as we sing our own praises to God, recognising that we're both holy and broken. Like the psalmist and like Cohen, we bring our own broken alleluias to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, long ago your servant David both pleased and angered you. His great faith serves as an example to us now. His ability to find love in a variety of places inspires us. But his ability to separate out his knowledge of you from his deepest and darkest desires horrifies and fascinates us. Help us to trust you in all things, to trust in your love and kindness, and give us grace at the end to come before you as we really are, saints and sinners, bringing our broken alleluias to your throne. Amen.